Hey, Mousers, this is Kev. Before we get started with the show this week, there's just something I wanted to bring everyone's attention to. I was approached by one of our listeners, Candace Pincala, and she I gave her permission to post this in our Facebook discussion group, and she also had posted it on our normal like page on Facebook. But I wanted to bring it to everyone's attention on the show proper because I feel like it's a really good cause, and you know, I want to be able to offer as much help as we possibly can. So, she wrote, "Hi, Kevin and Pete. Would you all mind voting for my daughter, Jenny Pam, for a special needs adaptive bike? She has quadriplegic cerebral palsy. She cannot sit, crawl, stand, or walk. But on this bike, she can actually push herself. It's pretty amazing. I've listened to you all since day one, and it would mean a lot for you to just vote. No donation is required. Literally, just scroll to the vote button and click vote. Thank you both for your humor and time, and I look forward to next week's episode." Okay, the site that you guys can go to vote for that, and I really recommend that everybody that listens to the show do it. It takes 2 seconds, doesn't cost anything, and you're helping out a kid who's really in need. So head on over to facebook.com/getjennypamabike. So it's facebook.com/getjennypamabike. So get Jenny Pam a bike, and Jenny is Jennie. Once you get onto the like page, one of the first posts has a link to where you can go to vote. So just go to that, scroll down. You can make a donation if you'd like, but if you just want to vote, you can scroll past the donations, and there's a button that just says vote. All you have to do is click it one time. You don't have to enter any information about yourself or anything, and your vote will be cast. Really great, easy way to help out a kid who's in a lot of need, and I hope everyone out there in the Two Men and the Mouse universe will, you know, lend a helping hand to this family that definitely needs it. So thank you guys so much, and all right, let's get into the show. If you and your family are taking a trip to the Orlando area this year, your little ones deserve to stroll in style. Lugging a stroller from home can be an annoying and frustrating part of the first leg of your journey, and renting those hard plastic strollers from Disney theme parks can be both costly and uncomfortable for your kids. Well, I'm here to tell you about the solution to your child transport problems, and that's Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is a Disney-featured stroller and crib provider that does exactly what you're looking for at a great price. Not only is it less expensive than renting a stroller from the theme parks themselves, but these are padded luxury models with features like drink holders, canopies, storage baskets, and more. What's more, you keep this stroller with you for your entire trip, whereas park-rented strollers, you got to return them before you leave the park that day. This is going to make those late-night post-fireworks bus stop queues so much easier, and dad's shoulders are going to thank you for it. So, how does it work? You just go to kingdomstrollers.com and make your selection on the stroller or crib that's right for your child. Just let the good folks over there know a great time for delivery and pickup and where you'll be staying. You can pick your stroller or crib up from the luggage stand at your resort and then drop them back off there at the end of your stay. So pack light, leave your stroller at home, and save up to a whopping 50% versus park price stroller rentals when you visit kingdomstrollers.com.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Welcome aboard the Walt Disney World Express Monorail, our highway in the sky. For those of you standing, please hold on to the handrails throughout our journey and stay clear of the doors. For the comfort of others, no smoking, please. Thank you.
Hiya, folks. You're listening to Two Men and the Mouse, episode 102 on the White Dragon Podcast Network, recorded live on March 14th, 2016. This is your everyday guide to the magic of Walt Disney World and the larger Disney universe beyond it. My name is Kevin Kessler, and I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Peter Mandel.
Hey, Kevin. What's up?
Hey, Peter. Not much. What's going on with you?
Nothing. Same old.
We got a busy week this week. We can't banter for too long.
Oh, good. Let's do it.
Folks, we are two lifelong Disney fanatics who have managed to keep the magic of Disney alive in our lives every day, and we want to share that magic with you. So, pull up a chair, gather the family, or pop in your favorite set of headphones. Let's experience the magic together. Pete!
Kevin.
Altered up the inflection this week. I was like, with you!
Hey.
Hey, you know, happy podcast, right?
We're always a happy podcast.
Right. And we are especially a happy podcast this week, folks, because Pete and I, we love our recurring guests on this show, and we love one recurring guest more than any other. He is our good friend. He's your good friend. He helps you all plan your Disney vacations all the time. He's planned my trips. He's planned Pete's trips. He is from Magical Travel, sponsor, friend of the show, Dave Weikert of Magical Travel. Welcome back to the show, Dave.
Hey, Kev, hey, Pete, thanks for having me. Always love being on here.
Oh, we love having you on the show, Dave, all the time. Pete, we love having Dave on the show.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah, okay. Don't sound too excited about it.
No, we love you. You're a great guy, Dave. You add a lot to the show.
Yes. Okay, and so, folks, we are going to be answering your email questions this week on our e-ticket attraction. We actually have kind of a dueling e-ticket attraction this week. It's going to be half answering your questions and half our March Magic tournament brackets, which just came out this week. So without any further ado, let's jump into the news brought to you by our good friend Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, who will plan your Disney vacation for you at no additional cost to you. Okay, gentlemen, shall we get into the worldwide news?
That's your cue, Dave.
Sure.
All right.
Yes, please do so.
Some attractions in Walt Disney World are actually currently doing away with the second touch point for FastPass Plus.
Really? Why?
I don't know why. I think it's just like to get the line moving faster. But I don't understand how you can get rid of the second touch point, because then, like, I know, like, I've walked up to Splash Mountain before and the secondary touch point will be closed. And I would be like, well, if I was in standby, I could have just jumped the line because there's not always a cast member here.
Yeah, I'm always confused. I mean, you know, part of me wonders, like, do they really need two? But, you know, I guess there's so many ones where, like, you could kind of, like, skip over the line and go
you
to
could,
the second
especially
one.
Especially long, winding queues like Splash Mountain.
So what one would they get rid of? The second one?
The second one. They get rid of, yeah, you scan in at the first one, and they get rid of the second one.
Huh. I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't know how I feel about it either. I feel like a lot of people are going to start cheating the system that way.
That would really bum me out.
Me too. Also, potentially, premium parking may be in the works at Walt Disney World. If you don't pay enough for your Disney vacation already, folks, they are currently talking about adding this is an optional additional charge. You'll be able to pay an extra $15 on top of the $20 parking fee to have premium parking, which will be right next to the theme park.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, Universal does it. Six
they
Flags
do.
Does it.
Yeah, Universal does it, and they always offer it to me because I have the annual pass, so I get free parking. And they're right. Always like, oh, well, you know, for just $5, you can get premium parking. And I'm like, no, thank you.
Do you ever try and, like, barter with them? Like, hey, what about four?
No, I've never attempted that.
And I have, like, a sticker in my car here I'll give you.
Yeah. So this is going to be testing soon in Walt Disney World. So what do you guys think? Dave, what do you think? Like, I mean, this isn't like something they're forcing on people. It's if you want the spots closer to, you know, the front, you can pay an extra $15 to get them. Do you like that idea?
Yeah, I'm not crazy about it, but they at the ski places I all go, a lot of them have the premium parking, and they're always full. People don't seem to mind paying the extra $15.
But
I mean, for most of my customers aren't going to be really affected that much as they're staying on property anyway. Mm-hmm. It's going to be more of the locals who might be coming in for dinner or something.
Right, and off-property guests. But, like, for me, like, I know when I drive into Magic Kingdom, like, if I can nail that Zurg lot parking space, I am super-duper happy. Like, my day is made because I got to park in Zurg. But which, by the way, not really a very current villain that they chose to name that parking lot after, Pete.
Whoa. Come on. Are you just saying that to mess with me, Kevin?
She's not super current. Like, what? Like, you know, they don't.
Really? With Toy Story Land, one of the big new additions coming?
Really
I think it's pretty
current. That's in a different park. And B, Zurg is, like, you know, he was big in Toy Story 2.
I agree. But tell me and John Lasseter that Zurg, that Toy Story, is not a relevant franchise.
Okay. I you know what? I will tell John Lasseter. But, you know, I think it was done because, like, each of the hero lots kind of matches a villain lot.
Right.
So there's a Woody lot and there's a Zurg lot.
I guess it would make more sense if it was Buzz, but that's okay.
Yeah, I also agree. Okay, and now, also, speaking of extra fees, have you guys been hearing the rumblings that Disney may be adding a additional resort fee per night for your stay.
Why?
I don't know, but they're talking. They've been polling people about a $15 per night resort fee, which covers the cost of Magical Express, Magic Bands, FastPass Plus, resort entertainment, Wi-Fi, extra magic hours, and resort parking. All of these things, which are currently free.
Right. So basically, for the low price of $15 a night,
you get all these things that you're getting anyway.
Right. We want you to pay for all these things that you have gotten.
I mean, they have polled and done things like this in the past just to get somebody's opinion. I can't imagine anybody in the poll saying, yes, it's okay.
No, definitely not. I mean, you know, when you look at, you're already paying all this for Disney Vacation. One of the major things that I love about Disney is that it offers free things like Magic Bands, like My Magic Plus, like, you know, Magical Express.
Right, and I've always imagined that it's not really free. I get we pay so much money to go to these places.
Right.
That it's built in there somewhere, and they're smacking a nice little, you know, free, like, on there.
Right, but this now is, that would be taking that away, and now all of a sudden you're paying an additional $15 a night, no matter where you're
right.
staying, for these luxuries. And, you know, not everybody takes Magical Express. So,
yeah, right. I mean, they should, but...
They
right.
should, but, I mean, as an Uber driver, I will tell you, not everybody takes Magical Express.
Oh, no. You'll hear somebody who believes they see something, and then they say, oh, no. We'll never do that. I heard you have to wait for it.
Exactly.
They hear crazy things.
I feel like we are being forced to pay for the shortcomings of Shanghai, the shortcomings of Paris. They're like in such like money control mode right now, like financial crisis, even though Walt Disney World and Disneyland are doing record business. And I feel like you're taking away some of our experience because some of your other parks aren't performing. Why cut off your nose to spite your face, you know?
I get that. I mean, we also don't know if that's true or not.
That's just my reasoning and my ramblings.
Right. I mean, if that was the case, you're 100% right. But
I don't see the need behind charging people an extra $15 a night when they're already spending all that money. Just build it in. Like, if you really need to charge people more, build it into your annual price increase anyway.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, the prices go up every year. You know, there's nothing in Disney World that is free, per se, you
exactly.
know?
So, maybe, and I realize maybe the that. Drinking fountains. The water fountain.
Right, that you fill up with you put that water in, like, your reusable mug, which is free, but it isn't really.
But it's not.
Right.
Okay, so in resort news, they are adding additional hours to the Ohana dinner block.
Okay, so that sounds good.
Yeah, before it was started at 5 o'clock, now it will begin at 3:30.
You know, it's funny because when we went this time and we ate there, we must have had like a 5:05 or 5:15. Mm-hmm. So we got there pretty early because we were so exhausted. I'm like, let's just go and chill out on the couches. And I thought that. I'm like, I'm so surprised. We saw like their little opening thing and like everyone there. And I'm like, I'm surprised this is so popular and it starts at 5. Like, I got to be honest with you, there are days I'd gladly take a 4:15 and have an early dinner.
Did you voice that out loud while you were in the lobby?
I thought it really hard. Does that count?
Maybe some high-ranking Disney executive heard you and was like, this Peter Mantle guy's got to, you know, knows what he's talking about.
I don't know what kind of technology is in my Magic Band.
Yeah, it's reading your thoughts and transmitting them to Disney executives.
That's right.
There you go.
But yeah, so now 3:30 instead of 5. And I think arguably... Dave, this is one of the most popular reservations to get on property, right?
It's generally in the top 5, probably yeah. closer to number 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, it makes so much sense to offer it. You know, give us an extra hour and a half. You know, you're adding an entirely other filled, like you're adding another filled dining room, basically, because it will fill up. Magic Kingdom news: they have announced the Easter and springtime entertainment that is coming this month. Mr. and Mrs. Easter Bunny will be meeting guests from March 14th today till March 27th on Main Street USA, over by where Santa Claus was.
Are you going to be getting a picture?
Of course I am.
Okay, good.
The Tomorrowland DJ Dance Party will extend its hours from midday until 11 p.m. from March 20th to April 2nd. you know, dance with, you can whip a nene with Mr. Incredible, Frozone, and Elastigirl.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. The other day I was on the TTA, I'm going around, and I'm looking down at the Incredibles dance party, and like there's no one there, and it's literally just Mr. Incredible and Frozone and Elastigirl and like two kids like dancing.
Ugh, I don't get the dance party thing, and I don't have anything against it either because it doesn't interfere.
They must
interfere,
be super popular because they keep doing them.
I know.
Not something your kids have ever been interested in, like I want to go dance with Sebastian the Crab.
Never.
They bring rare characters out to them now, though. Like I said, Sebastian, the genie, like they've all been out for these dance parties recently.
Which bothers me even more, because I don't really want like to dance with them. I'd rather get a picture with them.
Exactly. So I see people on the dance floor trying to like dance while take a selfie.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So Azalea Trail Maids will take part in an Easter pre-parade before Festival of Fantasy on March 26th and 27th and will meet and greet guests around Town Square on March 27th. And a second the second Main Street Electrical Parade will be added from March 28th through the 31st. So there you go. Oh, also, and there will be an extra, the Festival of Fantasy will be twice daily, once at 12 noon and once at 3 p.m. Sound good?
Yeah, they're beefing up the show schedule.
Yep. In Epcot news, something we've been waiting forward to hear for a while, the characters from Inside Out, Joy and Sadness, have been confirmed to be arriving next month, April of 2016.
Okay, that's good.
Dave,
I mean,
David,
we've already moved
on
to Zootopia, but you know.
Yeah. Dave, have you heard about this?
No, I have not.
There you go. You're going to be in the headquarters, like with the... You know, the headquarters from the movie, and it's going to have, like, the control panel and whatnot. And on the way, you will journey through Riley's long-term memory, catching glimpses of her islands of personality before you join Joy and Sadness over at the console.
That's kind of cool.
I think that's amazingly cool. I'm very, very excited for this. Again, no, Pete, have you seen Zootopia yet?
I have not.
Dave, have you seen Zootopia yet?
I have not.
I saw it the other day, and it is awesome.
I'm actually a little bummed out. I don't think I'm going to go see it.
You have to. There's no way. Abby will go nuts for it.
I know, but Abby's going to a birthday party that they're going to see it.
Oh, okay.
And I think Heather's going to stay with Ethan. They're all going to watch it. So literally everyone else has seen it but me.
Oh, no.
I know. What do I do?
Oh. Like, I could have just watched these characters walk around this city for forever because, like, it was just so... The creativity, like, as a writer, the creativity, like, astounded me. I just thought that it was so cool.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard nothing but great things.
Yep. So in Disney's Hollywood Studios news, which is sponsored by thecookinwookie.com for all of your recipe needs, thecookinwookie.com, reservations are now available for Minnie's Springtime Dine.
Okay. Now this is like what, like, are there different seasons?
Yes, this is Minnie's Springtime Dine
so springtime.
At Hollywood and Vine.
Do we know what springtime means?
Yes. The Mickey, Minnie, Donald, Daisy, and Goofy will be in their spring garden party outfits, and it will be a menu inspired by classic picnic foods with a twist. So things like barbecue and mac and cheese and things like that.
Okay.
Again, it's at Hollywood and Vine, and you can also add a Fantasmic package onto this. Dave, have any of your clients been doing the Minnie's Dine at Hollywood and Vine?
Yes.
Any good feedback?
Yeah, I haven't got much feedback yet, but they are pretty much one out of four customers will do that. We'll do that one or with the other with Princess Sophia and the rest of the gang.
Awesome.
Because now you can see Hollywood and Vine and also get the Fantasmic if you do break or lunch.
Yeah. Awesome, awesome. We have some Universal news this week.
Oh, good.
The Toothsome Chocolate Factory will be opening up in place of their old NBA restaurant over on City Walk. So this is a steampunk-inspired chocolate factory from like the early 1900s. It has a chocolate-inspired menu, which right away, like you're after my own heart. And it will have also like takes on steak and fish and, you know, more normal food. But the specialty will be chocolate.
Interesting.
Yeah, I hung out at City Walk for the first time recently, like at night after the parks closed, and it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's not bad. I don't liken it to Disney Springs too much.
No, it's more like it's more kind of what Downtown Disney used to be with like the clubs and things like that.
Yeah. Okay.
So I was astounded at how much fun it could be, like not being, because I'd always be like, oh, why do I want to go to Universal and not go into a park? And then I was just like, oh, well, like, it actually can be pretty fun.
Right.
So I had a good time. And that is the news this week, guys.
That's some pretty good news.
Yeah, some pretty good news. Not a lot of it, but a little. But, you know, we've got a long e-ticket attraction this week. So we're going to go jump to a quick commercial break, hear from our wonderful sponsors, and then we will be right back with more Two Men and the Mouse after this. You know, Pete, it's hard work planning a Disney vacation.
Of course.
Your whole family has to get going. You got to pack everything up. You got to figure out where you're eating. You got to figure out where you're staying. But you know what makes life so much easier and makes your trip planning a more fun experience?
Tell me. It sounds like something I need.
Absolutely. You need a travel agent.
Do we know one of those?
We absolutely do. We know our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse, folks.
We've both used him.
Yes, we have. Dave Weikert plans our Disney vacations all the time, and we would not recommend him if we didn't use his services ourselves. Dave started his Cranford-based business here in 2008, and in that time has been planning hundreds of Walt Disney World vacations. Dave plans every trip as if it were his own, and you will never find someone more passionate about Disney. Very easy to work with, and will do his best to make sure you're satisfied. Working with Dave, you're likely to pay less and get more. And what's better than that, Peter Mandel?
Tell me.
You never pay a charge for Dave's services. It is 100% free. Dave will plan your entire trip for no additional cost to you.
That sounds awesome.
Absolutely. Dave has helped over 875 families enjoy their Disney vacations. A graduate of the College of Disney Knowledge, Dave has visited every Disney World resort and has personally stayed at 12 Disney World resorts. He's dined also at every Disney restaurant. He's crazy about Disney food.
That is an accomplishment.
Absolutely. I wish I could say I did
that.
That's
like the snack challenge times 10.
Yep. Dave also gives you Disney dollars for land packages and shipboard credits for any Disney Cruise Line vacations you might be going. This can be used as cash at any Disney destination or store. Traveling with kids in your party, Dave will also provide you autograph books for all your kids.
You give them to us?
Absolutely. Your kids went down with Dave Weikert autograph books.
Of course.
Well, Disney autograph books supplied by Dave Weikert.
Depends how his name on it.
Dave simplifies your life by booking your complete vacation, including resort stay, airlines, Disney meal plans, and park passes. Also, checks daily for new discounts. When specials are announced, he immediately checks availability and rebooks your vacation at the lowest possible price. Dave can also book all your Disney dining and will do his best to get hard-to-book reservations like Cinderella's Royal Table and Be Our Guest. It's really, truly a no-brainer. Folks, take the stress out of your life. Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse. Do you want to embrace the inner gourmet in your life? Do you tire of a life of hot dogs, ramen noodles, and Pop-Tarts? Do you long to wow your loved ones with homemade delicious meals and chuck that kid cuisine in the trash? Well, good thing we've got thecookandwookie.com. The Cookin' Wookie is a food and recipe blog designed to walk you through recipes that will dazzle your dinner table. Tim Elbing is our Wookie host, and he will take you on a culinary journey that will make you and all of your dinner guests thankful at your next Life Day feast. So let the Wookie win your loyalty, folks, and head over to thecookinwookie.com. That's thecookinwookie.com. Fire up your oven, and may the forks be with you.
Hi there, this is Monica Pinto from the Mouse in Our House podcast, inviting you to join me here every other Friday for all things Disney from my perspective. Let's face it, with our fast-paced lives in a crazy world, always running from one place to another, from hectic work days to family responsibilities, from household chores to those never-ending errands, it sometimes seems impossible to survive until your next Disney trip. How to turn that around? Easy, by keeping a little bit of that Disney magic in our everyday lives. So go ahead, sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee and a little something sweet, and let's chat Disney. Join me here on the White Dragon Podcast Network every other Friday, where we'll celebrate all the magic, all the fun, all the memories, and even some stuff that's not so magical. But don't worry, a little bit of pixie dust should take care of that. So until then, I hope you remember to keep the mouse in your house.
Do you like the Disney parks? I do too. So does my little sister. That's why we started a podcast about them. Hi, I'm Dimitri Ravanis. The name of our show is The Extra Magic Hour. You can hear new episodes each and every Thursday here on the White Dragon Podcast Network. You can also find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. Now, in addition to telling you what we love about the parks and doling out some news and tips, we'll do something a little different. We'll tell you what we hate about the parks, where the mouse can improve, and we'll do some fighting. Well, not fighting. We call it friendly debate. Things that Disney fans have been debating and arguing about forever and ever. You'll hear them played out in real time between a brother and a sister every Thursday right here on the White Dragon Podcast Network.
This week's e-ticket attraction is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers, a stroller and crib rental service in Orlando, Florida that will deliver right to your Disney resort and pick up from the resort as well. Kingdom Strollers, you're going to pay less and you're going to get higher quality strollers for your next Disney vacation. Go to kingdomstrollers.com and stroll in style. Folks, it's that special time again. Since the dawn of Two Men and the Mouse, Pete and I have always loved talking to you guys, answering your questions, and being able to make you guys more of a part of the show, allowing you guys to take over and dictate what we discuss here. And since the very beginning, we have had our good friend Dave Weichert of Magical Travel here on hand as an expert in Walt Disney World and now Universal Studios to help you guys come in here and answer your questions and help make your vacation that much more magical or exciting. Yeah. Universal magical doesn't really like apply, so I think a universal vacation is exciting.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, you could say it's magical with the Wizarding World, but you know.
Oh, that's true. You can kind of say that. Oh, magical, but like in a different way.
Yeah.
So that is why, folks, we are so excited to be bringing back the email bag, and boy, was it heavy again this week.
Who carried it in?
I did.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice. Getting in shape.
Well, yeah, you got to work out those legs. You know, lift from the legs, not from the back.
Of course.
Of course. All right, so folks, but before we get to that, it's March. You know?
I do know.
So with March comes one thing in both Disney parks and with Two Men and the Mouse. Since the inception of it 2 years ago, we have followed this religiously, and that is the phenomenon of March Magic, which takes place on the Disney Parks blog. You go in, you calculate your votes for your favorite Disney attractions. The attractions compete against each other. It's West Coast versus East Coast, Disneyland versus Walt Disney World. The first year, what was the name of the team? The Caribbean Cannonballs, Pirates of the Caribbean, took the crown. Last year, though, and that was the original Pirates of the Caribbean from Disneyland. Last year, Walt Disney World took the crown back with the Gracie Manor Ghouls taking the whole thing. This year, we've got some new teams in play. So we've put together our brackets, the three of us. We wanted to go through real quick, discuss who we think is taking March Magic 2016. Ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay. So we're going to start off on the West Coast. Dave, you ready for this?
I'm ready.
All right. Okay, so here we go.
I'm ready.
The first matchup is going to be the Caribbean Cannonballs, the victors of the first March Magic tournament, taking on the Main Street Engineers, which is the Main Street Railroad.
Hmm.
I have the Cannonballs taking this one. Dave, what do you have?
Engineers.
You have the Engineers. Okay. Pete, what are you thinking?
I can't not go Cannonballs.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, and by the way, you know what I think everyone's question is going to be this year? Which random Disneyland attraction is Pete going to predict to go all the way that falls apart in the second round? Because the first year you were all about that Matterhorn, and then last year you had Radiator Springs Racers going all the way.
I can't help it. I thought it was a good pick.
We'll see what you got this year. Okay, so the second match, the Tiki Room Harmony, the Enchanted Tiki Room, taking on the Soarin' Gliders of Soarin'. I have the Soarin' Gliders. Dave, what do you got?
Gliders,
Pete.
Yeah, I think I have to go Gliders also. Yeah.
So then we have Toad Hall Mayhem, which is Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, taking on the Nemo Voyagers, which is the Finding Nemo attraction over there. I have Mr. Toad. Dave?
I go with Mayhem.
Yep. Pete?
You know, my heart is with Toad, but I feel like I have to pick Nemo.
Okay. Interesting. The next
it's
one,
a submarine. Come on, how cool is that?
It is pretty cool. The next one is the Small World Travelers, taking on the Wonderland Teacup. So it's a Small World versus the Wonderland Mad Hatter and Mad Tea Party. I'm going Small World with this one all the way.
Me too.
Dave?
Me too. Me three.
Okay. So the Abominable Snowmen, which is the Matterhorn Bobsleds, which was, as you all know, is one of Pete's favorites, taking on Radiator Springs Racers, the Lowriders. Oh. So this is Pete's dueling obsessions for the last 2 years of March Magic, taking each other on in the first round.
Really, take the worst opening round matchup I could possibly get, other than Gonzaga taking on Seton Hall.
I went with Radiator Springs Racers, the Lowriders.
Dave, you go. I got to think about this one.
I'm going with the Snowmen.
Matterhorn Bobsleds for Dave.
You know, I'm gonna go Matterhorn.
Okay. Next, we have the Neverland Crocs, which is Peter Pan's flight, taking on the Jungle Cruise Skippers. I gave this one to the Jungle Cruise.
I'm going to give it Jungle Cruise also.
Dave?
Me three.
All right. All right. So next we have the Big Thunder Mountain Goats versus the Briar Patch Splash, which is Splash Mountain. I went with Splash here.
Splash.
Splash for Dave. Pete, what do you got? This is another toughie. Like, you're putting like the two big Frontierland attractions against each other.
I know. You know what?
I mean, this is Disneyland's Big Thunder Mountain, so it's the one with the fire.
Yeah, I'm gonna go goats.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Pete went goats. All right, so the Buena Vista Red Car Trolleys, which I love, new team this year.
Yeah, that's great.
Taking on my favorite new team this year, the Haunted Mansion Holiday, which is the Disneyland Haunted Mansion Christmas overlay with Nightmare Before Christmas. I went Holiday on this one.
Yeah, how could you not? I mean, they have to. I think they're going to go deep in the tournament.
Dave, what'd you get?
I'm going with you guys.
Holiday. Okay, so over on the East Coast, you have the defending champions, the Gracie Manor Ghouls, the Haunted Mansion of Walt Disney World, taking on the Cali River Rapids Rafters. This is the blowout of the early round of the tournament. This is the Ghouls all the way. Pete?
Agreed. I mean, I don't see how.
It's a powerhouse. It goes to the finals.
Yeah,
even
that doesn't make any sense.
When it doesn't win, it's gone to the finals both years.
Yeah, something dramatic would have to happen.
Yeah.
For Cali River Rapids to pull this off.
All right. Dave, what are you going Ghouls too, Dave?
Yeah, it's sort of.
You got
it's
it.
It's like, can't go against the one seat.
The Star Tours Troopers going against the Storybook Flying Elephants. I went Star Tours here.
Yeah, I think people might think this is like more of an evenly matched, you know, matchup than it really is. I think Star Tours running away with it.
Dave?
Star Tours, no doubt.
Yep. Okay, so the next one. The Anandapur Yetis versus the Midway Maniacs. So that is Expedition Everest versus Toy Story Midway Mania. As much as I am a new fan of of Expedition Everest, I have to give this one to Toy Story Midway Mania.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think I wouldn't be surprised if one of these years that wins it. I mean, mm-hmm. It's such a cool thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Maniacs.
Dave, what are you going with?
Yetis.
You're going with the Yetis. Okay, Dave's a fan of Expedition Everest.
Okay.
The Hollywood Tower Hotel Bellhop, so the Tower of Terror, taking on the Mine Train Miners, which is the Seven Dwarves Mine Train. I went Miners on this one because it's such a popular attraction right now.
Yeah. I mean, how can you not? I agree. So far, we're going chalk, I think.
Yeah.
That's the T-shirt I got, Miners.
You got the Miners. Okay.
I got them last year.
Okay, so the next one we've got my favorite new team, because it's like whoever writes the Disney Parks blog listens to Two Men and the Mouse, because I didn't think anyone else cared about this as much as we do, Pete.
I know, for real.
The Future World Phoenicians.
I really do feel like they made it for me.
Yeah.
Like someone was like, that guy needs another T-shirt.
Yep.
Thank you. And it can say Phoenicians on it.
Yeah, so the Future World Phoenicians, which is Spaceship Earth, which is an amazing T-shirt, by the way. Taking on the Tom Sawyer Island Explorers. I think this is a blowout.
It's
the Phoenicians all the way.
Phoenicians.
Yeah. So the next one is the Liberty Square Independents. So I believe that's Hall of Presidents. Taking on the Grizzly Hall Players. I gave this one to the Country Bears, which is the Grizzly Hall Players.
Is there any way they could both just lose?
No.
Then I will take the Independence.
Okay, Dave?
Hey, either one of them is not that good.
I know.
I'll go with Independence.
I honestly think these two teams are right in this spot so that you have people will have more time to buy the Phoenicians t-shirt.
You might not be wrong about that.
The next one is this is one after my own heart because I'm like, oh, this was my tough choice. This was my Matterhorn versus Radiator Springs Racers. This is the Progress City Gears, which is Carousel of Progress, versus the Tomorrowland Movers, which is the Tomorrowland Transit Authority People Mover. I had to go Movers on this one.
Of course. I mean, Movers is the obvious choice. I will say, though, if it was Future World Gears, that would have made this complete.
Because that would have been Mouse Gear. When I first saw the t-shirt, I thought it was Mouse Gear.
I mean, that would just, I wouldn't even bother getting any shirts next year. I would just be good.
Yeah, no, like, and everyone on the group thought that it was Mouse Gear, too, at first. I think somebody wrote, like, I thought this was a Mouse Gear shirt, and I got really excited for Pete, but.
Yeah, that's all right. Listen, the Mover shirt is just as cool.
It is super duper cool. Dave, what'd you go with?
Oh, I'll go with the Movers.
Yeah. So then the last one for the East Coast is the Space Mountain Blast versus the Imagination Institute Dreamfinders. Again, one of my favorite. I got the Dreamfinder shirt last year. I got to go with Space Mountain on this one, though.
Yeah, I know. I was hoping you were going to go Dreamfinders so we could mix it up a little bit. But you know what? I agree with you. I'm going to go Blast.
Yeah. Dave?
Blast.
Okay. So my second round, I've got the Cannonballs versus the Gliders, and I went Cannonballs on that. So I have the Cannonballs going into the quarterfinals.
Cannonballs and Gliders. That's a really tough choice.
Yeah. Dave, what did you have for your second round?
Gliders.
Gliders? Yeah. You had the Gliders taking on the Cannonballs also?
I would have to think, you know, the Gliders can pull that matchup off.
So you guys have the Gliders going into the quarterfinals?
Yep.
Okay. Next one, I have Mayhem versus the Travelers. So Mr. Toad versus Small World, and I gave that one to Mr. Toad.
I'm going to have to go Travelers over the Voyagers.
Okay, and Dave?
Travelers.
Travelers. Over the, so you
nice.
Guys, you guys have Small World going in there. Okay. So I then have the Lowriders versus the Skippers, and I gave it to the Lowriders, not because of my preference, just because that's how I think it's going to go.
Huh.
What you got, Pete? You've got the Lowriders versus the Skippers too, right?
No, I think I went. Did I go Snowmen?
Oh yeah, you did go Snowmen.
Yeah, I went Snowmen because I mean that's like my guys. Yeah. I'm gonna go Snowmen with this also.
All right, are you predicting Matterhorn to go all the way again this year?
I kind of want to be honest with you. I really like their squad this year.
Dave, what do you got?
I got Skipper.
You got Skippers going in. Okay, I have the Splash versus the Holiday, yeah. And I gave that one to Holiday.
I'm going to go Holiday also. I think they beat the Goats in my bracket just because I think Holiday is like the, you know, kind of surprise team here.
Dave, what do you got?
I'm going with Splash.
Splash, okay.
Wet Holiday.
Okay.
Down.
I have the Ghouls and the Troopers, and I have the Ghouls taking that one dancing.
Wow. I don't want to agree, but I have to.
You got it. It's the number one seed.
Yep.
Troopers are taking them by storm. Sorry.
Really? Dave, you got Troopers beating Haunted Mansion.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Next, I have the Toy Story Midway Maniacs taking on the Miners, and I gave that one to the Miners, actually.
Really? You know, I'll agree with you.
Dave, what do you got?
Miners also.
Miners. Okay.
Now, this next one's pretty tough.
The Phoenicians and Country Bear Jamboree, I've got the Phoenicians.
I went with the Independents, but in this case, I think they just get squashed.
Mm-hmm.
Phoenicians all the way.
Okay, Dave?
I went Pete, Phoenicians.
Phoenicians, okay. Next, I have Movers and Blast, so I've got the TTA the TTA versus Space Mountain. Believe it or not, I gave this to the TTA.
I'm going to also, I think they're a new team, so I think people will get behind that.
I think people are super going to be super excited about this one.
I think it's a beloved ride that doesn't get, you know, all the ballyhoo that Space Mountain does.
Agreed.
But yeah, easily I'm going to go Movers.
Okay, Dave?
Space Mountain.
Space Mountain, the Blast. Okay. All right, so quarterfinals. I've got Cannonballs versus Mayhem, and I gave it to the Cannonballs, Pirates of the Caribbean. Pete, I believe you have gliders and travelers, right?
Yeah, I do. You know what? Since the new Soarin's not even open, I'm going to go travelers.
Wow, small world.
I love small world.
A team that's been in it since the first year that has never gotten this far.
I'm telling you, it's time for people to recognize small world.
Okay. Dave, what do you got?
I'm going with gliders.
Gliders. Dave has Soarin going into the semifinals.
Okay.
All right. So then I have the lowriders versus the holiday, and I gave it to the holiday.
I have the snowman, the holiday, but you know what? I'm going to go holiday.
Yep. Dave?
I'm going with the skippers.
Skippers or splash, you went skippers. All right. Then over in Walt Disney World, I have the ghouls and the miners, and I gave it to the ghouls.
Oh, man. Yeah, you know what?
Gotta. It's a monster. You can't stop it.
I know. I just can't believe that every year like they're just going to, you know, be this great.
I feel like it's good. If it gets to the finals again this year, I feel like it has to sit out next year.
I know. You're absolutely right. They'll get some kind of violation and have to sit out.
You went into ghouls? You went for ghouls too?
I'm going to go ghouls.
Dave, what do you got?
I got troopers versus the Phoenicians.
You got troopers and Phoenicians in the semifinals. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
My semifinals, oh, yeah. I actually have Phoenicians versus movers, and I went with the movers, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I think that TTA is beloved, man.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think that the Phoenicians will have the following to really pull off a big move.
I feel like the Phoenicians making it through three rounds, I think that's, I think that's a lot. So
I'm gonna go movers.
Okay, cool. So all right, so semifinals. I've got the Cannonballs versus the Holiday. I went with the Holiday going to the finals.
Yeah, I mean, I would love if Small World could really pull this out, but I think Holiday's gonna pick up steam.
Dave, who's winning your West Coast semifinal?
Skippers.
You got Skippers going to the finals.
Skippers.
East Coast, I've got the Ghouls versus the Movers. I went with the Ghouls because I think it's an all Haunted Mansion final round.
Man,
I want this. I desperately want West Coast Haunted Mansion versus East Coast Haunted Mansion in the finals.
I'm going to agree with you. Let's do it. Let's lock it down. I hate picking the teams you think are going to win, but I'm going to agree with you, Kevin.
All right, Dave, who do you got from the East Coast?
Star Wars.
So you got Star Wars and
Spirit. Yeah, this is Star Wars year. You might be right about that, Dave.
It is true. You might ride the wave of the Force Unleashed into the finals here. So finally, for the final match, West Coast, East Coast, we got Holiday, Ghouls on my list. Believe it or not, Pete, I'm betraying my home team. I went with the Holiday.
Oh, I think the Holiday went also.
Yeah. Dave, what do you got for your...
Troopers.
You've got the Jungle Cruise taking the whole thing.
Troopers.
Oh, Troopers. Troopers. So you got Star Wars taking it all.
Star Wars taking the whole thing. Once they get past the Ghouls, it's over.
Well, folks, we are going to be keeping you guys updated on March Magic as we go along every single week. And then we will be happy to unveil the winner. And you'll see, and we invite you guys to also go on the Facebook discussion group, facebook.com/groups/2meninthemouse, and let us know who you guys thought, show us your brackets. Let's see who you guys think are going to be taking it. So, okay, ready to get to the email questions this week?
I am.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so Tony Stevens asks us, is the Disney dining plan worth the money when it's not free? Peter Mandel.
I think it all depends on who you are. I think the most important thing is that you are going to maximize your credits. I have people tell me all the time, like, oh, we came back and we had, three full service credits left. I'm like, I don't even know how that's possible. Like, how did you plan it that you left entire meals on the table, let alone counter services or snacks? So I think the most important thing is to, make sure you maximize it. And honestly, if you have to adjust the way you would have planned your meals so much just to maximize it, then honestly, it's probably not worth it.
Dave Weichert.
I agree with Pete, you have to maximize it. And some people like it just because it's sort of like a budget. They know how much their food is basically going to cost. The meals are planned out. If you have children under 10, you're basically paying around $22 for the kids. The character meals are $25, $30. So you're saving there. And it's very hard to beat the Disney system They have it down to a science. So if you want ease and not thinking about things, the system is good. You get the refillable mugs, which I love.
Yes.
Can't go without them. I have about 30 of them in my closet. I like the system. For years, the travel agents, we got room discounts. We never got the meal plan. And every time I went, I saved every receipt. I come back like a mad scientist. I added up one trip. I beat it by $5.
Wow.
Interesting. So
it's, I mean, and I didn't eat in the normal way. I didn't change what I ate.
Right.
It's, they got it down to a science.
You know, and I've always said that I think peace of mind is worth something. I like knowing that it's all paid for. I don't have to worry about
it. I get that. I agree with you.
Yeah.
A lot of people love that about it.
Even if it was like, it is exactly the same amount. Like, there is no difference whatsoever. I would still do it just for the peace of mind.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't mind, you know, having it all out of the way up front, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at times, I can be cheap. So I probably wouldn't have that extra Rice Krispie treat dipped in chocolate or something. And with this, I feel obligated. I have to eat it. I have to have the Dole Whip.
I remember my dad, so, when we were kids and we would go into you know, restaurants, we'd always ask for like an appetizer or for a dessert. We'd always be told no. When we had the dining plan, and this was back when it was like the only dining plan that was available was deluxe. So you got all three meals, a table service, and it was appetizer, entree, dessert. My dad was like force feeding us ice cream.
Your dad's great.
Yeah.
Hey, Kevin, let me say, with Dave mentioning the Dole Whip, did you see the March Magic shirts for the Dole Whip and Citrus Swirl?
Yes. Yeah. You know what? I had written those down too. The Adventureland Dole Whips and the Adventureland Swirl. Those are two teams that just didn't make the final cut for March Magic, but you could still order the t-shirts.
Yeah. I think that's pretty cool. I don't know if I need a t-shirt, but.
I think that's the first ever Disney snacks that are being offered as teams.
I think you're right.
Okay, so Travis Garrett asks us, when planning a Walt Disney World vacation, what are some of the best ways to save money? Now, if you're just talking ways of saving money for the trip, then I think Peter Mandel has an answer to this.
I mean, if you want to actually like literally put money away, that Disney savings account is actually pretty cool. I actually did it last time. Mm-hmm. Worked out pretty well. You get a gift card, depending on how much money you put away. I mean, you don't maybe technically save any money on your Disney trip, but it's a good way to save money for it.
Now, if we're talking about ways to just save money, like get more and pay less, Dave Weichert, any insight into this?
Well, use a travel agent. We'll save you money if you book. When you book. And on yourself, you always have to keep looking all the time to see if Disney lowered their prices. You got to check out everything.
Yeah.
With the travel agents, we're gonna take a look. We're gonna update your rebook your reservation. Like this morning, rebooked a whole bunch. Rebooking's getting harder and harder. They seem to be putting less in their inventory every year, but. Mm-hmm. We'll look for ways to keep it out there. And another thing with the savings plans, there's also the Disney Visa.
Yeah.
The Disney Visa, at times, if you want to use it for points, that works. But it gives you 6 months to pay for your trip if you need that after you go. So some people use that also.
I always also say that staying at a value resort is a great way to save money because – how much time are you honestly spending in the room? You know, it's wonderful to stay at a beach club or a Polynesian, but I've always found that you could stay at a value resort, like an All-Star or a Pop Century or an Art of Animation, and get pretty much the same experience because, you know, you're just going to the room basically to sleep and to maybe use the pool once in a while. And I find the pools at the value resorts are very nice.
I agree with you on that.
You agree with me on that?
I tell people all the time, like, especially people who are going, like, you know, maybe aren't like crazy veterans. Like they really want to spend all day in the parks. I'm like, that's huge. You're going to spend all day there.
Yeah. And you know what? At the end of the day, also you need to, like, you're getting the same travel arrangements, like the same, access to travel, the same access to extra magic hours. So you're getting all the same benefits, the parking, but you don't, you know, you're not paying nearly as much.
Right.
I mean, the difference between staying at the Poly and staying at All Star Music, it's like a grand canyon of difference.
Agreed.
Right. Well, if you're looking to save money, staying at the Value Resorts are one of the best ways to do it. But the other resorts, it depends on the family.
Right.
The values are great, but the moderates and the moderates and the deluxes have their families for the location. Not everybody wants to stay in the values, but the moderates give you a very good bang for your buck also. The Port Orleans is like 10 minutes away from the Magic Kingdom. And for the families with newborns and all the little ones, sometimes being on the monorail is more important for them for state of mind than saving money. So there's a little bit for everything, and Disney has rooms for everybody.
One of our favorite things to do is ride the monorail, right, Pete?
I love the monorail. You have no idea.
Gotta love it.
How is there not a team for the monorail?
That's very true. The monorail should have had a team. Jason Odegaard asks us to, this is a Universal Studios question. He says, please explain the park tickets at Universal. During Pete's family tale of Universal, he mentioned someone not being able to access something because they had one ticket. Do you remember that?
I do. It was the Hogwarts Express.
That's it.
Oh, yes. So that was because they didn't have the two-park ticket, right?
Yep. I mean, it wasn't in my family. It was the guy next to us. Right. But he could not get on the Hogwarts Express.
Yeah. So the way they work, Jason, is it's much like Disney, where you can buy a single-park ticket or a multi-park ticket. There's only two parks there, so a park hopper ticket is just a two-park ticket. And you can only access the Hogwarts Express if you have the two-park ticket, because it does take you from one park to the other. And then there's also, Dave, Express Pass, right?
The Express Pass, which will give pretty much if you're staying at, or you can buy it independently, or if you're staying at three of the resorts, it comes with it. It allows you basically to jump the line in most of the roller coaster areas. Not really Harry Potter, but the bigger roller coaster rides you can jump in.
Right.
But you must have a park to park to ride the Hogwarts. And to me, that Hogwarts was worth the price of admission.
It was so cool. So cool.
It's really cool.
Monica Pinto from the Mouse in Our House podcast here on the White Dragon Podcast Network says, so I'm seeing that recent guests are receiving surveys posing the question if they would stay on property if they agreed to follow the following costs. Although they are currently included, $5 for Magic Bands, $20 for resort parking, and $15 for Magical Express each day. I think she's talking about the resort fee, basically.
Right.
What are your thoughts on this, and do you think this will actually happen? We covered it in the news a little bit. I'm very against it, and I don't think it will happen.
I do think it will happen, but I don't think there's any way in the world they're going to be like, hey, we have a new resort fee. I think they'll just work it into everything else you're paying.
Which, that's what I'm fine with that. Don't
throw
it in my face.
There is no way they're going to be like, oh, did you pay that resort fee?
Yeah.
It's never going to happen that way.
I agree with you, Pete. They're going to increase everything anyway, so they're just going to throw it in. No one wants an independent fee.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No way.
Trust me, I have cable, I have a cell phone. There's all sorts of fees I'm sure I'm paying that are just like resort fees.
Right. So Ben Power asks us, how do you recommend guests visiting both parks, Disney World and Universal Studios, in one trip? Switching hotels, renting a car? Honestly, and I say this, you know, kind of a biased statement here, but I heavily recommend taking Uber from one to the other.
I was curious what you thought about this, Dave. I mean, getting, as someone who only stays at Disney, getting to Universal was a little bit of something I really had to work on in order to make it go seamlessly. What would you recommend for customers?
Well, I've used a taxi, and that worked rather well. I've used the Universal shuttle. And that was even better.
Will they pick up at Disney?
Yep.
Yeah, I used the shuttle one time. Honestly, I found coming home from Universal, I was forced to like wait for a while, and then they were picking up another family at the same time. And honestly, I have two little kids, and it's the end of the day. I don't really want to wait for a shuttle bus. When you took the taxi, how much was it? Do you remember?
I don't. I'm thinking
you paid at least $50 for that trip. Had to have.
I was thinking lower than that, but it's been a little while.
I'm telling you guys, Uber is the way to go from one park to the other.
Kevin, what do you think Uber costs for that? Just curious.
Well, I happen to know. I pretty much every morning, guys, I pick somebody up from Walt Disney World and take them to Universal. Pretty much every morning with Uber. And to be like, it's costing you in the $20 range pretty much to go from one park to the other. Now, it depends on surge pricing and whatnot, if there's, if they're low on drivers, but still, you are going to save money going from Disney to Universal with Uber and vice versa, from Universal to Disney with Uber, than taking a taxi cab.
Now, what if I have six people?
You could take Uber XL.
Okay.
Uber XL can seat up to six people.
Interesting.
Yeah, so Uber XLs are like the minivans and like the bigger SUVs that can transport more folks.
It's definitely less than the Universal shuttle.
Yeah.
The taxis are cheaper than the shuttle, and then the sounds like Uber's better than the taxis.
Much, much better.
Now, Kevin, have you made like a video for in your car, much like the Magical Express video?
I thought about it.
For when you take someone?
No, actually, you know what I do is I went into the Walmart by my house, and I just went up to their like brochure stand where they had like all the trifolds for all the parts,
right,
and basically just cleaned them out, and I put them in the back. Like on the back of the seat, you have like the little flaps.
Yep.
I stuff those with the brochures so people can take a look at the brochures. And I mean, I know all about this stuff, so I give people advice. And my car, basically all of my 5-star comments on Uber as a driver, which there are many, because, I try to make it a positive experience. They're all like, oh my God, I learned so much about Disney. I learned so much about Universal. So,
well, I like that.
Because all the Uber drivers, all the Uber drivers live in the area. So we're usually able to give you good tips on stuff like this.
Interesting. Now, let me ask you a question. Let's say I'm in Universal, okay, and I want to go back to my Disney resort.
Okay.
And I'm Ubering it. What do you think? How long do you think I'm waiting between actually clicking on it on my phone and like me getting in the car?
I would say about 10 minutes.
No.
Yeah. No, I'm dead serious.
Really?
Because it dings the nearest Uber driver to you.
Okay.
And as Uber drivers, it tends to be... like usually when I get an Uber ride, I am usually less than 10 minutes away from it. It's very rare that I'm not.
Okay.
And you can track your driver so you know exactly where they are on the way to you with GPS, and you can call them or text them to get an ETA. But the app will tell you how far off they are.
All right. Sounds good.
Yeah. So that's, And you know what? If anyone is going from Disney Universal and you're a listener to this show, hit me up on Facebook. Let me know what time. I'll make sure that I'm there. And then you can hit the Uber app once I'm in the parking lot, and I'll drive you. So,
woo-hoo!
And get some tips.
Yeah. Okay, so Gigi Pistone says, I have my Universal Park-to-Park pass and my Halloween Horror Nights pass for Halloween Day this year. Do you know if there are special hours I need to be aware of? I think those are announced closer to it, right, Dave?
Yeah, not yet. They're planning it, but I haven't seen anything yet.
Halloween Horror Nights usually takes place around 7 p.m. It's much like Mickey's Not So Scary. So you're going to want to get all your Universaling done earlier in the day. Because I'm assuming, because during Halloween Horror Nights, you're going to want to spend more time on the mazes. And typically the mazes, I would actually recommend Express Pass for Halloween Horror Nights, because those mazes have some sizable wait times. Just based on things that friends told me that went this year. I didn't get to go to Halloween Horror Nights, but I have friends that went.
Have you heard anything about a speculated Yule Ball for Harry Potter?
They were actually doing like, it was in part of the surveys that they were talking about like a Harry Potter hard ticketed Christmas event, like a Yule Ball.
Sounds pretty cool.
I'd be all about that.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah. So Jeremy Hodges says, Dave Weichert, how does PhotoPass work in Disneyland? Seems to be different than in Walt Disney World.
Let's see. The All right. I caught my off guard. I thought you were going to the food one. I've been thinking about food all day.
I did just do PhotoPass in Disneyland.
All right. Pete,
yeah, Pete, go ahead on this one. You're the Disneyland.
I do love Disneyland. It is old school PhotoPass. They are giving you a lanyard that you're going to wear around your neck.
Mm-hmm.
That basically, that's going to have your, there's no magic bands. So you are going to kind of scan everything to that. And that'll have your number on it. And when you're done, it is, it's just like it was in Disney World pre-Magic Bands. And then you can, when you go back, it's, the website's the same. You just punch in your code.
Fantastic.
I got to say, it's a tremendous value. I did last year. I think it was $69.99. Now, granted, I was there for 4 days. But,
wow.
Yeah, I mean, you can't beat that price. That was just, it was wonderful.
So Jeremy also says, Dave, since you've dined at almost all restaurants in Walt Disney World, what is your favorite appetizer, main entree, and dessert? Can be from different restaurants.
I've been thinking about this for like 3 days.
Okay.
It's like my favorite thing to do is eat around Disney. And my favorite appetizer after a long thought is Chef de France and the escargot.
Okay. Does that come in the puff pastry?
Nope, it comes in like a dish of like 10 holes or something, a snail in each one.
Okay.
Extra garlic. Oh,
yeah.
Delicious. Now, for my main entry, I couldn't just give you one.
Okay.
Be Our Guest with the herb crusted lamb rack.
Wait,
really good. The Tutu Italia with the braised short ribs. And then probably my right there is the California Grill with the Alaskan halibut.
Very nice. And dessert?
And for dessert, I go right back to Ohana's with the Ohana bread pudding with the vanilla a la mode with the caramel sauce.
Okay.
I can eat that every single night.
He also asks, do you have a magical moment from a cast member at a restaurant?
I sort of do. It was one of my first trips before I became a travel agent. My family, we were all at, my oldest son was about 5. We went to Mickey's Backyard Barbecue. And back then, they had the food. They had a big pot of corn on the grill. And they didn't really have a blockade. And my son wanted to be independent, took his bare hand, placed it on the grill, and reached in to grab the corn.
Ooh.
I saw him do that. I grabbed him, and they had a big garbage can filled with soda and ice. And I just shoved his whole, body into, the ice. And out of the woodwork, waiters, waitresses, people were just coming there. They saw what happened. The first aid people came, and then right after that, our waiter came, got us, pulled us to the back. Chip and Dale came over.
Aww.
They brought all the characters over.
Wow.
Because we missed it all.
So basically, Dave, what you're saying is, if you ever want a private meet and greet with Disney characters, just throw
that.
Your child's hand onto an open flame.
And then our next trip, they told us, they gave us a coupon to come back.
Okay.
And we got a free meal back. And the waiter came, same waiter, and he told us what they did. They put fencing up now. They put a lot of things up so the kids couldn't get near the grill.
Wow. So if you're there and you're looking at that grill and you see the fencing around it, you have Dave Weikert's family to thank for it.
My son and his left paw.
Yeah. Wow.
That's the Weikert fence.
The Weikert family fence.
After the accident happened, that's when Disney Magic came out and took care of stuff, made a bad situation so much better. And then, I mean, they called the next day to see how he was doing. It was amazing. And that's probably where my love affair started.
Did he get the corn?
No, he wouldn't touch that damn corn.
That's your question.
I'm just curious.
I'm not sure if he still likes corn.
It's a happy ending if he gets the corn, at least. Also, he asked, what is the strangest thing you've ever witnessed in a Disney restaurant?
I don't know if I ever witnessed anything strange. I witnessed a waiter drop my food at La Cellier before it came to me, and I almost cried. But
was it like when Peter Mandel got the dirty dishes dropped on him?
Yeah, I watched a waiter drop an entire, 12 top of dishes on me.
Also at La Cellier, wasn't it?
Yeah, also at La Cellier.
So maybe it's the same guy.
Some Canadians with some slippy fingers there. Jeremy also asks, what is a common mistake people make when traveling with a newborn to Walt Disney World? What are your best recommendations for traveling with a newborn? Dave, I don't know. Did you ever bring any of your kids as a newborn? Because I know Pete has.
No, I've had customers do it. And I actually called up one of my customers who went 3 months ago. And their thing that they forgot a like a fan. They wanted to clip a fan onto their stroller. And okay. They didn't. But they did. They did bring their own stroller for the newborn because they could lay it down and make it flat because the Disney ones really are good for newborns.
Right.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I mean, the fan, and they sell like those extended sunshades, which are pretty good too.
And the one customer told me they were very happy they remembered their cooler with the ice pack because they were able to keep the extra bottles cool when needed.
Okay. Pete, what would be your recommendation having done this twice?
You know, it's funny. I've never used like the little infant centers that they have, but this is like crazy advice because I never did it. I loved knowing they were there. I know that sounds weird, but you know, if you ever needed to like feed the baby or anything, you can go right there. It's a quiet area. You know, it's almost like you're stepping out of the parks for a minute, which is pretty nice. A lot of people are always like, oh, I have to take the baby back to the room to take a nap. I got to be honest with you. I never did that with my kids. I mean, I've done it with them as they got older. But newborns, I mean, they were perfectly content, especially because I brought the strollers that we used at home. They were perfectly content just sleeping in the strollers. But I think you have to realize it's a different pace when you have a newborn. Like, right. If everyone has a fast pass to go on Buzz Lightyear, you know what?
No one's
waking up this baby to go on Buzz Lightyear. But I also find, especially if I had extra hands or if it was just me and Heather, I mean, you know, come on, it's your brand new baby. You're perfectly content just sitting in Magic Kingdom for a while with a sleeping baby. It's wonderful. Right. So that's an adventure on its own. So, you know, I just think you got to take it at the pace it's going to go at.
Right. Go ahead, Dave.
No, I guess the only other thing. One of the things you got to make sure when you get your room at Disney, you request the travel crib, and you can use like the shop at home, the garden grocer people, if you really want to get extra diapers and things delivered to your resort.
Okay.
See, I always brought diapers with me because I'm someone who likes to have souvenir room in my bags. So packing diapers, knowing that they wouldn't be going home with me, was like perfectly fine.
You don't save your Disney diapers, huh?
No, nope.
Okay,
that would be a souvenir.
So Josh Warrell says we are staying offsite at Walt Disney World between November 3rd and 19th, and hoping to see the park theme for both Halloween and Christmas. What are the highlights to look for and see at either time? Well, Josh, I have some bad news for you. I don't think you're seeing it for Halloween on November 3rd.
Yeah. Do you remember I was trying to do that perfect trip where I was going to get both the Halloween party and the Christmas party?
And to be honest, I think he's missing it by like a day.
I haven't seen the official dates, but
because usually they do one on Halloween and then sometimes they'll do one November 1st. But usually over those next 2 days, the transformation into Christmas starts.
Yep.
And it was pretty immediate this year.
You know, for a while, they did run a Halloween party later. Do you remember a couple years ago, it actually ran later? Yeah. But then they stopped doing it.
They're not doing that anymore now.
Right.
Unfortunately, Josh, I don't think you're going to be able to do it. But, you know, some of the highlights to look for. I mean, if you are able to get there for the Halloween decorations, Main Street is done up beautifully. If you can get to Not So Scary, which I really don't think you're going to do it, buddy. Just because they just have not been going that far out away from Halloween. You know, you've got the villain mixing. You got the villains Hocus Pocus show if they do that again this year. Trick-or-treating in the parks is always delightful, as well as being able to wear a costume. Christmas time, you're looking for Snowfall on Main Street USA, hot cocoa, cookies. And the beautiful thing about Christmas, we say it all the time, when it's Halloween on Main Street. When it's Christmas everywhere.
Right.
We love it.
And if you have an opportunity, you're there for a long time. If you can check out the beach club, the Grand Floridian, those resorts go the extra mile in decorating.
He also says, we're planning an early breakfast in Magic Kingdom. Which restaurant would you recommend, and what would you use the extra time in the park for? I think this is kind of a two-pronged question here, Josh, in the fact that if you have a little girl traveling with you, then Cinderella's Royal Table. If you don't have anyone that really cares about princesses, because you really are just going to Royal Table for the princesses, and you care more about the food, I got to say Crystal Palace breakfast for that.
Yeah, you literally just took the words right out of my mouth. And I mean, I have a 7-year-old girl, and I think she would still pick Crystal Palace because,
Puff French Toast.
She likes breakfast, and you can't really go wrong to Pooh Bear characters. I like the Cinderella's Royal Table. I haven't done it in many years. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind going back, but I mean, you're paying, it's more expensive than Crystal Palace, I believe. And you are literally paying for seeing those princesses. The food is okay.
I liked the food, but it wasn't anything to like write home about. Dave, what would you say?
It's without a doubt, it's Crystal Palace. I mean, I have a 17-year-old and 15-year-old boys, and it's still, when we go, it wouldn't be a Disney trip if we didn't go there for breakfast. Well, the one thing is you can get there generally as early as 8:15. I'm not sure if they're going to have any extra time after you eat, because it generally takes about an hour, and by then the parks are going to be open.
Mm-hmm. Listen, the best time you're going to have, I purposely always try and make my Crystal Palace reservation for a day that is not early morning extra magic hours, mm-hmm. because
yep.
I will grab that 8 o'clock breakfast. You are pretty much on Main Street at 7:50 with a limited number of people, and that is the best extra time you're going to have. Whether you want to take pictures like I do of the castle and the partner statue, mm-hmm. and they have PhotoPass photographers out there at that time, which is, I think, great. But even if you want to just leisurely stroll down an extremely quiet Main Street,
that's the thing.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah, you're not getting on Splash Mountain that early.
Nothing's open.
You're doing it just for the ambiance and the experience.
Yep.
You have to do it.
Gareth Kinnear says, we are staying off-site for our visit from the UK, and we're hoping to pick up magic bands before our first day in the parks. Where is the best place in Disney Springs to buy magic bands, and how do we link them to our tickets and My Disney Experience account? Okay, stand back, gentlemen. This one's my wheelhouse.
I was just going to say, this is all you, Kevin.
I honestly would say, because, I mean, if you're coming from the UK, chances are you're probably not coming to Disney very often. And if your magic bands are going to be a big part of your experience, I recommend getting a specialty magic band. And if you go over to the Co-op in Disney Springs, which is over in the Marketplace area, you can go there and you can get your name put on it. You can get whatever design you want, whatever color you want, and they will make it for you right then and there. Now, if you have your park tickets already, typically the person that you buy the magic band from can apply your tickets to the My Disney Experience account, or you can just go on the app and you can, you have to link your magic band to the app, and you can link the ticket through the ticket number via the app. Also, if you need help with it, there is a guest relations location in Disney Springs. It is over by where the sketch artist is, which is over by the Ghirardelli, I believe. So you just head over to there and talk to the folks over there at the at guest relations, and they could definitely do it for you as well. You can also buy like swag for your magic band and regular plain old magic bands themselves in the World of Disney store as well. But if you're coming from the UK and you're staying off property but you still want the magic bands, I say go the extra mile and get the awesome specialty magic bands with your names on them. That's my opinion, guys.
I'm gonna have to agree with you, Kevin.
I'm glad you do. Having not been to Disney Springs in forever, right?
Yeah, I have no idea an answer, so I'm just going to go with Kevin on
this. Dave, how often do you go to Springs?
I haven't seen the new one yet. The new, I haven't been there in a while. When I was down there in January, we did not make it, so.
Ah, okay. Okay.
Last time I was there, they were building the parking lot.
Yeah. I mean, I go to Springs all the time. I love it. I was just actually there the other day. Okay, so we have one last question to get to, if I can open it up. And this is coming from Maureen Callahan, and she says, I'm going to Universal for the first time with my family. Three kids, ages 14, 13, and 8 this July. We already had a magical 8-day Walt Disney World trip planned, staying at the Poly with my extended family, and decided to give Universal a try for one day before our official Disney trip begins. Having been to Disney dozens of times, I always have a strategy for hitting the parks and not waiting in line too much. Since I have no idea what I'm doing at Universal, I need some basic pointers. We are going because my 14-year-old daughter loves Harry Potter, so we want to maximize our time in those attractions. Also, we want to hit Simpsons and Jurassic Park. Not really Transformer fans, but we plan to get a two-park pass for one day only. And we're staying on Walt Disney World property during this time. What is our strategy? What park do we visit first? What kind of essential information do we need to know to maximize our time there and have a positive experience? Okay. My immediate recommendation is to go to Universal Studios first.
I would say the same thing. Why do you say that?
Because especially if you are a Harry Potter fan.
Agree. I want to hear why you want it.
Because it goes with the linear nature of the story. Yep. You go to Diagon Alley first. You do Gringotts. You go into King's Cross Station, board that Hogwarts Express, and take it into Hogwarts.
I agree. I mean, that was such an important thing for me, and I know that probably sounds silly to so many people, but keeping the continuity of the story to me was huge.
Huge, huge, huge.
When we did it.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, it's a cooler experience, I think,
and
to walk in.
Don't forget the park ticket.
Yes, and they do have the park-to-park ticket. But the beautiful thing to me with Universal is I find that walking into Universal Studios is more fun than walking into Islands of Adventure for the first time. Mostly just because when you walk into just Universal proper, you get like that Hollywood studio feel to it. Whereas when you walk into Islands of Adventure, it's just like a bizarre kind of like thing.
I disagree with you. I actually like walking into the islands better, but you know, I think part of the reason is because when you go into Universal Studios, there is nothing there for a long period of time.
I mean, you can see the Minions ride as you walk in.
Yeah. Is the Minions ride really a ride, by the way?
I don't know. I've never been on it.
Because, I mean, it used to be Twister, and that was Twister Ride It, which had everything except a ride, as you just stood there and watched Twister.
Right.
So I actually boycotted Minions because I hated Twister so much.
Okay.
Is that not weird? So
it's
I need you
weird.
To go do that.
I'm pretty sure it's a whole new experience. It's not just Twister with a
it's
twist.
It's the same building, though.
I don't know.
I did the Minions ride.
Oh, what is it? You can tell me, Dave.
It's basically like you're in the same car like Star Wars. Not Star Wars, like Spider-Man. And it's shaking all around. And you go on the big video screen. And it's a tough ride.
Gotcha. Oh, okay, so it's kind of like Transformers and Spider-Man then.
Right, but it doesn't move.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does the ride actually go anywhere? Is it on a track?
No, it's here basically. It's a video.
Yeah, it's a motion simulator.
I would recommend going right to, if you want to do Simpsons, I recommend going right to Simpsons, get the giant donut for breakfast, split it between your family.
Yes.
It's big. $5 for a giant donut. It's amazing. Do the Simpsons ride. If you don't, I mean, listen, I know you might not be Transformers fans, but you really should still do Transformers because it
Agreed.
Is awesome.
And if you are there that early, it's probably not a crazy wait.
No, but I mean, honestly, if you've got people that Minions is a thing that you have to do, do Minions first, and it's easy to get to right when you walk in. It's right in front of you because Minions always has the biggest wait, in my opinion. Then, you know, get over to Potter. I mean, middle of July, I mean, it doesn't sound like they're doing a whole ton of roller coasters, Dave, but would you recommend the Express Pass here? 5 people, that's a lot of money.
I mean, it's pretty expensive if you're only going to do it for 3 or 4 rides.
Yeah.
You might have, if you don't get the Express Pass, you might have to give up 1 or 2 of your rides. So you get those other ones early, like you said, and then head over to Potter, and then maybe at the end of your trip, try to get one more.
Yeah.
But you might have to give up a ride to save. I mean, isn't it around $90 a person?
Yeah. I mean, it's something crazy. Like for 5 people, for a family of 5, like you're looking at almost $500.
It's a big chunk.
It's a big chunk. You can get another day in Disney for that.
Plus, I think the real thing that speaks to whether you want to get it or not, if Harry Potter is really your goal, and when I went, we wanted to do everything, but we really went for my son, who is a full-blown Ravenclaw, loves Harry Potter.
Right.
And the only two rides that you won't mind a line are the two Harry Potter rides.
Indeed. Absolutely.
They are the two rides you do not want to burn through that line, because we couldn't have stayed in there long enough for my son when we were in Hogwarts.
To be honest.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey. I find that the line for me is better than the actual ride.
Absolutely. Secure your phone.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I don't know if I ever told you this on the show, Pete, but I noticed the next time I went, after you talked about your phone story, there's actually a tiny compartment in the backrest of the seat.
Yeah, you told me that.
That you can open up and drop your phone into.
I you know, I don't want to say I'm traumatized by that still, but I'm a little traumatized
still.
It's
okay to be traumatized by that. It's a horrifying event.
It was really bad.
Yeah, so what was the other question? She says, "What park do we visit first? Essential information." I mean, that's about it. I would honestly, with a family that size, I would probably recommend doing the Universal Dining Plan, which is just $25 per person, and it gets you a table service meal, a snack, and a refillable drink mug while you're there. Dave, you saw this, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you're there for the day, you can do that. You're not losing any money. It's not bad. You're going to buy that mug anyway.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, and you know, it's a good mug. I like it. It's one of my coffee mugs. All right, guys. So anything else you want to add to that one?
No, I mean, you could speak this, Kevin. When I went, I saw we were there at park opening, and people immediately beeline for Harry Potter.
They do.
For me, I actually went and did a couple other things first.
I find that Harry Potter is going to have a worse line in the beginning of the day, because people are going to run there, and it's a run to get to Harry Potter, no matter which park you go to.
Right.
Because they are on the opposite end of the park from the entrance. So you're going to run there, and you're still going to probably have a 45, 50-minute wait.
Right.
So I usually recommend letting everyone go to Harry Potter and hit it maybe 2 hours later when people are starting to finish Harry Potter and cycle out of it. And they're moving on. And they're moving on to rides like Transformers and Simpsons and things like that.
Yeah, I agree with you,
Dave.
I agree with that, because hit the rides closest to you, get them out of the way, and then go to Harry.
Yeah, and Maureen, the short answer to your question is Maureen's a personal friend. So just text me or call me, and I'll walk you through it. That does it. That's all of our questions this week.
Oh, not bad.
Right. Dave, thank you so much. We love having you on, Dave. Anytime you want to come on the show, you're always welcome here. And Dave, if anyone wants to use you to book their Disney or Universal vacation, how can they go about doing that?
You can reach me at DisneyDaveW@Verizon.net or my home number, or the office number, 908-709-4199.
Perfect.
Or my cell phone at 908-370-8170. Any different ways to get a hold of me, give me a phone call, send me an email. We'll get the quote out, put it all together for you.
Hear that, folks? You have Dave Weikert's personal cell phone number now. So, I mean, what more do you need to know to book this guy? And now, folks, we shall give you Peter Mandel's personal cell phone number. Go ahead, Pete. No?
You're very
I don't even have that.
Okay, so about ready to get out of here for this week?
I absolutely am.
That's going to do for Two Men in the Mouse this week, folks. Thank you so much to everyone that wrote in, either via email or via the Facebook group. We love answering your questions, and we love making you guys a part of this show. And you are the most important part of the show, and you have been for 102 episodes. So please, folks, give our social media pages some love. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Two Men in the Mouse. Twitter @Two Men in the Mouse, Facebook discussion group at facebook.com/groups/Two Men in the Mouse, Instagram @WhiteDragonPN, Twitter for White Dragon Podcast Network is @WhiteDragonPN. Also, check out facebook.com/WD Podcast Network. And please, folks, if you want your questions answered on a future episode of the show, send us an email to questions@twomeninthemouse.com. And if you like the show, please just do us the honor of sharing it with a friend, with a family member, tweet it out, talk it up, post it up on Facebook, give us a rating and review in iTunes. It helps us out so tremendously, you have no idea, and it's always so very much appreciated. If you love our good friend and co-host Peter Mandel, you want to check him out at his comic book store, Rogue Comics in Cranford, New Jersey, or you can go to buy an issue of the new Haunted Mansion comic book.
It was really good.
Yeah, it's really good from what I saw. Pete sent me the first page of it, and I was like, oh my gosh, I need to get this. You can check him out at 105 now, right?
Yeah, it's been 105 for years.
I know. I'm sorry. I don't have that part written down. I just have to know. 105 North Union Avenue, Cranford, New Jersey, 07016. Or check out roguecomics.com, where you can find a link to Pete's eBay store. Folks, if you are planning a trip to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise, Adventures by Disney, any Disney resort throughout the known world, or Aulani out in Hawaii, or newly Universal Studios, look up our good friend Dave Weichert here of Magical Travel, who you can find at DisneyDaveW at Verizon.net. Or Dave, what was that number one more time?
908-709-4199.
There you go. And folks, if you are looking for the next dish that's going to delight your dinner party guests, please check out thecookinwookie.com. That's thecookinwookie.com for all of your recipe needs. And if you are renting a stroller or crib for your next Walt Disney World vacation, please check out our good friends over at kingdomstrollers.com. You can save money and stroll in style with a more comfortable, more cost-effective stroller or crib for your child. And folks, for me, please, the release of my novel, Rocinante, is coming in just a little over a month and a half, if everything goes according to plan. So please like my author page for pre-sale information. You can find that at facebook.com/Kevin J. Kessler author, or check out my new website, authorkevinjkessler.com. All right. And you can also follow me on Twitter at Kevin J. Kessler. So thank you so much for joining us again, folks, this and every week. Pete, any closing words?
No, it's been a pretty good show. I always like the mailbag.
Love the mailbag. Dave, any closing words?
Thank you so much for having me, and good luck on your brackets.
Thank you so much for coming on. And please, folks, keep the magic alive every day of your lives, and we will see you next week on Two Men and the Mouse.
So there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.
If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the doors until the monorail stops completely and the doors open. If this concludes your visit, we hope you've had a wonderful time and will return home safely. Thank you for traveling with us.